It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey!
What's up, baby?
Nothing.
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 You look really good in that shirt you have on, love.
Thank you, Sean.
You really did, I want to tell you.
Okay.
It makes your lips look fuller.
Okay, so hey, welcome to Loving the Strange.
What's up, man? Hey, Dee!
And thank you for being here, Dee. And anyone else, say hi. Say hi in the comments.
We got one viewer.
And John Bell!
Hey, John, did you ditch that walker yet?
John Bell, for those of you who don't know, had an operation. And so...
he had a hip replacement.
Yeah, so that's why Sean's being Sean.
Oh, well, if his posts on Facebook are true, he's been a trooper about rehab and stuff.
Yay, he said yes, he has ditched the walker.
Nice.
And Dee went and saw Wicked, the musical, which
you're probably jealous, aren't you? Totally jelly. Maybe when Emily comes home.
I mean, I have
seen
Wicked.
Isn't that like a Broadway, like an actual theater thing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Definitely, when Emily comes home, maybe you guys can scoot out of town and go see it. I mean.
Dee said it was so amazing she cried.
I would have cried too, Dee.
Sean.
What?
That's not the same reason that Dee cried as you cried. Sigh. All right, so.
Well, I took you to see Hamilton in New York.
He did. He did take me to see Hamilton.
That's right.
I didn't cry, though.
No, I didn't cry either. That was a good musical.
Wicked is not a bad musical. It's a really good musical. When I was running for office, every time I would drive somewhere, I would sing Defying Gravity from Wicked because it's like this song all about defying the odds and not letting people hold you down. Unfortunately, I lost. Or maybe fortunately. But that song helped. It helped me get through that time.
That is not the only time she sings Wicked songs.
Okay, no, but...
Carrie loves her some show tunes.
I do love show tunes. They're fun to sing.
Yeah.
They're like story...
unless you can't sing like me.
They're like story and music all at once. So there's like a story within the song, and there's always like an emotion that has to be displayed. I'm really into it, so shut up.
I'm not making fun of you.
Oh, you're just laughing.
But I mean, isn't all song embedded with story?
No. No, it's not.
All right.
No. Some is, but some definitely isn't. Like you take a Taylor Swift song? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's embedded with story. You take a U2 song, some are embedded with story, but some are just images that try to make you create or evoke a feeling. So it's almost like a montage of lyrics versus a storytelling story.
Awesome.
Like, you're being such a jerk.
No, I'm not, because I've never thought of that. What you just said means that music can do audio storytelling and visual storytelling. That's what you just said, an image that evoke almost
it
like
creates,
a montage.
It creates an image within your head sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But
visual.
It also has this like added, this is not what our podcast is supposed to be about,
no,
but it
not.
Also has that added element of like, you feel the sound waves like coming at you, right? And so then that also impacts your emotion. So it's got all this cool stuff as an art form that influences you.
Yeah.
So welcome to the podcast. Susie's
it's
here.
Not about show tunes.
Sadly, not about show tunes. But maybe you can come on and then we can gang up on you about show tunes.
That would be the worst podcast.
It would be the best.
I said in my life.
That would be my best one. Susie says, check out Beau Dermont from AGT singing Defying Gravity. It's so powerful. Okay, I will. But actually, not right now.
The truth is that Carrie has such a lovely voice that I don't care what she's singing. As long as he's singing in my presence.
He's such a lying liar.
I feel blessed.
You're so full of it.
What?
Okay.
Listen, folks.
I'm trying to get us to the podcast
subject. Did you not just hear the heartfelt, true compliment that I gave her?
He's laughing. It's not real. It's not real when you're saying
that. He never accepts compliments as real.
Just laughing. You're laughing. So anyways, the point of this podcast is not show tunes. It's not even can Sean give compliments sincerely or not. The point of this podcast is weird jobs.
Yeah.
So right. We're going to talk about weird jobs. And if you have any ideas, let us know. And if you've ever had a weird job, let us know. And
I have a feeling... Yeah. My buddy John Bell could probably chime in on this once or twice if he's still with us.
Oh, poor John.
He's maybe not had weird jobs, but he has had some that you may not know exist, I think.
That's cool. I would love to know those. Speaking of jobs, right?
Yeah.
This is from the Career Addict, right?
Career what?
Addict.
Addict.
Okay. ADDICT.
Yeah.
And their number one weird job is not what I would actually put as their number one weird job on this list, but, you know, subjective, is a paranormal guide.
All that makes me think of is the ghost tours in our town.
I'm totally going to become this, I've decided.
This must be different.
It's kind of the same. So basically, they said you can earn $40 an hour.
Yeah.
Which is... not quite as much as I earn an hour, but it's still okay, right?
Yeah,
it's consistent work. I don't have consistent work. So it says, believe it or not, there are jobs for paranormal guides in the United States and all over Europe. Essentially, you take a short course for about 4 to 6 weeks and become a guide. Then you lead tours through haunted homes, castles, and mansions, and you can make $30 to $40 an hour exploring the unusual.
That sounds right up your alley.
I totally would do that. I'd also do this one.
Stop stealing my thunder.
Do you want to talk about this one?
That was on my list. That's not the one I had to play, but I'm talking about it right now, but I will.
You can do it. Go with the flow, man.
There. All right here.
Okay. You got it.
It says, and this is from boardpanda.com. People who have serious previous trauma or who are lonely, depressed, ill, or who have medical needs can find solace from professional cuddlers.
I think you'd be a good professional cuddler, baby.
Maybe we could rent our dog out for this.
We could.
It's not hard to become a professional cuddler, but you need empathy, decent values. Just decent values.
They don't have to be good values.
And good ethics. Cuddlers frequently promote their services online. I bet they do.
Not via OnlyFans.
And are paid between $20 and $40 an hour.
That's kind of sweet. That's a sweet job.
The real cuddlers are like $200 an hour.
Shawnee.
What?
You went there.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, ready? Well, I have another one. Number two from StreamYard. No, I'm sorry. From where were we? CareerAddict.com. Our video platform is StreamYard. Is ready?
I'm ready.
I think you could do this.
Probably.
And I think that maybe you should.
No. If you say that, it scares me.
No, you'd love it.
Because I can do anything. Except involving extreme heights. But
okay, this does not have extreme heights. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's milking snakes.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
See? And you know how much you get a month? $5,000.
You have to own the snakes and sell the venom?
No. There are jobs for milking snake venom in zoos, pharmaceutical companies, and academic research institutions. The reason for milking snake venom is to develop an anti-venom because thousands of people in Africa and India die from poisonous snake bites, and the job pays anywhere from $2,000 to
$5,000
a month.
Oh, you know.
I'm assuming it would get boring. It's a little light,
but... Yeah, I don't think there's any... herpetoriums around here, though.
I know, but I think we could move.
We just start our own.
We could.
And we give tours.
Susie says a professional cuddler is a person who cuddles infants in the NICU.
Oh, see, that's a good cuddling job right there.
You would be so good at it, baby.
I would. I would enjoy the hell out of that.
You would be. Whenever there's a baby, everybody never seems to think Sean will want to hold the baby.
I always want to hold the baby.
All Sean is about is holding babies. And it always, like, he's got these big, long, solid arms. And, like, the babies always just look like this little itty bitty. Like, they look even smaller than a normal baby. And he just, like, holds them so confidently. Like, damn.
Nothing to be scared of.
It's kind of sexy, actually. It's kind of sexy.
Well, let me go find somebody for the kid. I'll bring it home and hold it for you for a while.
Oh, man. Susie says men are welcome to cuddle. Sean would be amazing. Julie says, strange jobs. Do you have one, Julie? Do you have one? Yeah. Do you want to share one, Sean, or shall I go?
I'm going to have two in a row.
All right, I'm ready.
And they're both, like, right up my alley.
Oh, really?
Well, sort of. I feel like this every morning that I'd love to be a professional sleeper.
You'd be very good at that.
And apparently, in order to evaluate the comfort of their beds, a hotel in Finland, imagine a progressive country, engaged a staff member to serve as a professional sleeper. Each night, the person uses a different hotel bed and reviews them all.
You'd be great at that.
Oh, yeah, I would.
You'd be so good at that.
I know.
Oh, you need to do that.
And the other job is professional mourner.
I could do that.
Because I have a resting bitch face anyway, so I gotta look sad.
No, you wouldn't be good at that.
Alright, well, not everybody's gotta like the deceased, okay? There's gonna be one guy in the audience that doesn't. Anyways, hiring professional mourners is not rare in various societies. The family will engage professional mourners to attend the funeral service when a significant person passes away without any friends. The objective is to improve the deceased's reputation.
That's so sad. That's These so people weird. Get in
between $40 to $100 for each session. And this is the part that hooks me like a fish. And take part in the meal.
Oh, well, there you go.
That follows the burial.
That sounds like a great job, except for the sadness.
Oh, man, there's no reason to be sad.
I would be sad.
And I never have to go to a kid's funeral because nobody's going to worry about a kid having
friends.
Not a 55-year-old man friend. They're going to be, what kind of parent are you?
Anyways, Julie said she was a bingo lady at a nursing home.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a weird job.
Oh, that's awesome, actually.
I got to repeat the number like 4 times. What'd you say?
That would be fun. Did you get to make puns? Like, B12, it's your vitamin for the day.
Oh, my God.
Like, did you get to do that?
I didn't even think of that. You saw that online, didn't you?
Not right the second.
Did you just make that up?
No, I've played bingo.
Is that a joke for bingo?
It's a bingo
joke. You played enough bingo in your life to know the puns for bingo? And I've never known this? Oh, my God.
I think other than grade school, where you're like, you play bingo to learn things.
I didn't learn any puns in grade school bingo.
I'm sorry, you went to school in Florida and I didn't.
It'd be like, so, B6, Susie sucks. Eh. You know okay. What I mean? But I didn't hear those either.
Anyway, I played bingo once.
Yeah?
And I won. So
and you learned the puns.
And I learned the puns because they were so punny. Anyways, Julie said.
Wait a minute. I have one more question before you move on.
Okay.
How old were you when you played bingo?
Me?
Yeah.
31, 32.
That might lead to other questions, but it can wait until after the podcast.
Okay. So Julie also said, oh my gosh, I wish I think about the puns, but she was also a professional palm reader for one day, and it had great cash.
Now that's an interesting gig right there.
I would do that.
Like, can you just make crap up? I mean,
Shani,
is there like a palm reader school?
There is a word that says professional in her comment.
Well, that means she's really good at making crap up. She's a professional at it.
I have a palm, see? And like many people do. I'm sorry, that was almost a wicked pun for D. Like so many do. But apparently I don't have a very long lifeline. Like my lifeline, I should be already dead.
Oh yeah, well, according to a lot of people, you should have been a lot of things.
Yeah.
But Julie says, yes, there is a school, and it's on YouTube.
No way! That's so cool. And she also said, if we go to Portland, she'll do it for me. You have to, but can you like make up stuff about my life?
Yeah, I don't tell Karen so that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
She'll never sleep at night again.
Never again. Because I'll be too busy living.
It'll just be crazy.
I'll just be like, I gotta live now. All right, so, I'm so sorry. I could talk about that forever. Susie says, check out Ann Corliss, who is a cuddler for EMMC and has been doing it for 25 years. Sean.
What?
There you go. You've got a link.
Oh, for cuddling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julie said, only the positive with me. This is why Julie is cool. All right. How you doing there, Ferrari?
I'm good.
Did you do both of yours?
Yeah, I did the mortar.
Okay.
And the sleeper.
Someone's weed whacking outside. I'm afraid people can
hear
it.
Man, that's our freaking neighbor.
He's nice. He's really nice.
He'll mow his lawn after dark with a headlamp on.
He also doesn't go to sleep because he wants to live every moment.
No, he doesn't want to be inside of his wife.
That's not true.
That is what it is.
That is not true.
Nobody mows their lawn when the sun goes down, baby.
He does.
Yeah, I know.
He does. And that's not what. Nope, he's just motivated. All right, you ready? Speaking of motivated.
Yeah.
This is a very weird, disturbing
job.
Yeah. It's like so disturbing. I forgot the word for job. So it's detecting landmines with rodents. So apparently during the Vietnam War, according again to Career Addict, there were millions of landmines planted in the jungles of Laos and Cambodia. And some are still lurking underground. I think he's getting closer with the weed whacker. Oh, nosy.
Because he's insane.
He's not insane. He's just really nice and motivated.
The sound of small engines.
He just stuck.
The sound of small engines is like an aphrodisiac for him.
He just stopped the moment you shut the window. Anyways.
Well, at least I only shut one.
So Cambodia got these really big rats from Africa, and these African rats can smell really, really, really well, much like me. And they can sniff out, allegedly, TNT better than any other animal.
Yeah.
And so they would have him go, like, or her, go and sniff out the landmines. And then at the end of the day, they would get like a reward of their favorite meal. And the person who handled the rats made
$10. $10?
Yeah, different country.
That's crazy.
And then here, number four, also dealing with animals, is a dog food taster.
Wait, I have a question about the rats. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to know.
Did the rats run out into the field and like mark the landmines so they could come retrieve them?
I have no idea.
Did they just let loose like 8,000 rats?
No.
And they find landmines and blow them up?
Then they couldn't get their meal as the reward.
Well, whoever was still surviving comes back for a meal.
Those wouldn't be the ones who didn't do a good job.
Yeah, but they're still alive.
I don't think that's how it worked, baby. Right. I don't think that's how it worked. Okay.
Because, I don't know.
That's nasty. All right, ready? Okay, I knew you were going there. I was like, no, don't let him do it. Don't let him make the explosion.
Julie Kingsley leaving already because she's got to eat.
And you just exploded routes in front of her. So that poor woman. It was nice to see you, Julie.
Yeah.
So, ready for the other one? Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. So, dog food taster. $40,000 a year.
What?
Yes.
Is that like part-time or full-time?
I'm assuming full-time. Ready? Direct quote. There are approximately 90 million pet dogs in America, and since dogs cannot tell us what their food tastes like, dog food tasters are used to ensure the food that's prepared for dogs is of high quality and taste. Dog food tasters work with all types of dog foods and treats, and on average, they make $40,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's worth it. Honestly,
you can just pretend it's pate.
I make our dogs breakfast every morning, and I've never once been tempted to taste their food.
You're like,
nope.
Ooh, that smells so good. I just want to eat that mushy mush or that hard nut kibble.
I'd probably rather eat the kibble than the sirloin steak flavored beef squares, which are probably better than my potted meat. So.
Probably. Like, if you can eat pot of meat, I feel like you could be a dog food taster.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe.
I think if you didn't think of it as dog food.
For $100 a year.
Yeah, I would do it for $100 a year. Here, you want to read Susie's?
Susie says, I know a young woman who had the job of professional psychic to make quick cash. She would spend her day in her PJs and had a couple of computers set up to do background research when someone called her. Oh, that's very smart.
That is very smart, but very wrong.
You just pay for the services of the background searches.
Yeah.
On a couple different ones on a couple different computers, and once you get their name and age, you can figure out who they are.
That you could totally do that, because if it was like, "Hi, I'm Sean," like, you know how they have those internet sites where it's like, you put in Sean Farrar and I'll be,
yeah.
Sean Farrar lives in Bar Harbor.
Right.
Associated with Carrie Jones, blah, 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 blah. And then the psychic just has to be like, I see someone in your family.
Yeah, but if
a Carrie, a Tally, like, you know, and then they just go.
If you pay for them, you see even more. Like, you see, like, debts and criminal convictions, right? And stuff like that. So
I've never paid for them.
Really? Make those people think you know about them personally.
That's so wrong.
That's a good gig right there.
No. Because then
Let's do it.
No.
You talk to people, and I'll run the lookup computers while you're talking.
So I just manipulate the people.
You're good at that, baby.
I'm not good at that.
You're good at making people feel safe and secure.
I don't want to do that under false pretenses.
We can run an identity theft rig on the side, too.
I feel your password is tutti frutti banuti 792 exclamation point.
You're wrong. There's no exclamation point at the end.
I feel like your social security number is 007-2225. And they'd be like, that's so close. Oh my gosh.
We can make it 007. And bail out and go buy a sailboat.
No.
Yeah.
No, because we're ethical.
All right.
I don't think you sound convinced that we're ethical.
I am. I'm totally convinced.
All right.
I have one for you.
Okay.
A job.
Okay.
It's still from boardpanda.com.
Does it involve feet?
Well, no.
Does it involve OnlyFans?
No.
Okay.
It's a professional apologizer.
Oh, I could do that.
I know.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
It says, this may be your greatest suit if you have a strong I'm sorry or consistent apology quality.
I do.
The professional apologizer is among the strangest professions we are considering. A person who apologizes on behalf of others in their place is known as a professional apologizer. They continually offer their condolences to a hurting individual until their objective is achieved.
What's the objective?
To make forgiveness. Why else offer an apology?
So you're offering an apology for someone else until the other person forgives someone else?
Yeah.
Who would hire someone like that?
I don't know. Somebody that doesn't have time to worry about it.
ENTJ?
Some rich guy that doesn't want her to tell his wife that they were having an affair.
No.
And wants to make amends.
No.
At least to the point where he feels secure.
Do you think that people have to keep using a professional apologizer?
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, is it, like, a one-off?
No, I feel like it's a habitual thing because of personality.
It's always needing...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
People live so differently than I do.
But, I mean, I don't know that there's a huge market for it, but maybe there is.
Maybe.
It's like, you know, getting paid to send out birthday cards and stuff for people in their family.
Oh.
They just give you all the dates and you know, maybe card characteristics, and then you're responsible for getting them out in time.
When I was a reporter, there was a Democratic candidate for State House, and he wanted me to volunteer and send out cards. He wanted me to look in the Ellsworth American, our local paper.
Yeah.
And send out cards to everybody who had a family member who died.
For obituary condolences?
Yeah. Like, he wanted me to and sign his name. And, like, look up, like, you look up who their next of kin is. And, like, he's like, just, you know, do the top two. Like, if they have a lot of kids, don't do all the kids, because that's a lot of stamps. Just do, like, the wife. If that's, there's a lot.
That's brilliant.
Or the husband.
That's so brilliant.
And then, like, if
did
they
you do it?
No. Because I was really self-righteous.
Well, it was volunteer work. So.
Well, yeah, but also I was like, I don't feel like that's a good person thing to do. Because that's how much of a goody-goody I am. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Because, like, they would be my condolences and not your condolences.
But and, he didn't care enough to who he didn't care whose condolences it was.
No, he just wanted to make sure that people thought he was nice, and that's so that right. He kept winning.
That was brilliant.
You the whole world probably agrees with you, right? But to me, that's just not cool. Like,
I agree with you too. It's just the concept is brilliant.
I'm sure a lot of people
because you're hitting somebody when they're down. With a positive, and like, you're running for office at the same time.
Like, oh, look, Sean Farrar cared.
And
that
you're
now
voting, like, 75% of his name recognition.
Always, yeah.
So, whose name's going to stick out in their head?
Yeah. And, you know, you kind of want, especially in local politics, you kind of want to feel a connection with the people who are running and stuff. So, yeah, he was very adamant that I should do that for him, and I was very adamant.
That
I
should not. Well, listen, if I ever run for office again, we got to remember that.
Who are you going to have do all this?
You.
No.
Yeah, all this. There'd be like 5 people throughout the 6 months I was running.
He did it while he was also in office. I feel like if I give too much information, people will figure out who that is.
That's good for re-election.
It is. And I guess it's kind for the people who are getting it because they don't know that it was really somebody else, but and they feel special, but I don't know. It just didn't feel right.
No, I totally agree with you, honey. It's a little suspect.
All right. Susie says, the weirdest gross job I ever had was a specimen jar and slide cleaner for a hospital. Oh, no, wait. I don't have the whole thing. Ah, Sean, keep talking.
You got to go on Facebook?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I got a job for us as a couple.
Hold on, Susie. I'll finish that soon, I promise.
Did you hear me?
Yes, a job for us as a couple.
Yeah, it's furniture tester.
A furniture tester?
Yeah. This work is quite cool.
Oh, really?
As long as the furniture is not made of cactus. Oh, they're making a joke.
What?
To evaluate the comfort of the furniture, you must sit, move around, and you must sleep on it. I think we can do that.
I think we honestly could do that.
Because we could sit, lie, like I can fall asleep between your legs, I can do on occasion.
Sean.
What?
No. All right, no, so
it's not a sexual between your legs, but we could do that too if it was a couch.
No, all right. Anyway. Ready?
What?
Susie says, the weirdest gross job I ever had was a specimen jar and slide cleaner for a hospital. This was back when the jars Pogie's broken.
Okay.
This was back when the jars and slides were glass and the hospital used them. I was 16 years old. I couldn't stand the heavy-duty rubber gloves, so I washed them bare-handed. My fingers were cut to ribbons, and I had to put the cleaned items into jars of alcohol.
So you had to put your cut-up fingers in the jars of alcohol?
That sounds terrible.
Hell yeah, it's like torture.
Yeah.
Jeez,
Susie. I'm sorry for little you.
But does that mean you don't have fingerprints now?
I know that.
Are you cool. Like a professional burglar?
Oh, hi, Linda. Linda's here. Yay! Linda says, when I... Oh, you read Linda. I'm sorry. I keep reading them. Oh, wait. No, it's on Facebook. Continue to. Hold on. I'll do it. Linda says, when I was a kid, about 10 or 11 in the summer, I would ride my bike once a week, 20 miles or so. Wow. Round trip from my house to the Port Clyde post office to pick up the mail for Andrew Wyeth's sister, Betsy. That's so
amazing,
cool.
Actually.
Delivered it to her and made $10.
That's a lot of bike riding for $10.
It took me forever. I had to keep stopping to rest. Back then, the roads were not super highways, so I felt safe. That's
but $10 was probably quite a bit of money, actually, back then for a half a day or whatever.
I'd take $10
right now.
I mean, 20
miles. That's a long ways.
Would I do that
right
now?
When you were like 10 or 11.
Yeah, like, when you're so little.
That's
oh my
a
gosh.
Lot of just steady riding.
Yeah.
There, I mean, I don't know if it's 20 miles. Oh, round trip was 20, so it's 10 each way. But still, that's a lot of mileage.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But that's I mean, lot. $10 probably went a long ways, too, back then.
I would do that for $10.
Even if it was like the 70s or 80s or whatever.
Yeah. Ooh-wee. All right, you ready?
For what?
The best comment we'll ever have up on our screen.
By Susie?
From Susie. Would you like to say it?
Think gross bowel specimens.
Yeah.
I do that all the time, Susie. I mean.
No.
People I live with in this house, it's unavoidable.
That's not true. He's a liar.
And the animals?
That's true. So, do you have another one or do you want me to go?
Oh, I got one.
All right, we're ready.
That might have been good for me like 20, 30 years ago. Rental boyfriend.
Oh, no. You can't do that, baby. Although, if
not
it pays
anymore,
enough.
I can't. In Tokyo, finding a boyfriend is as simple as it gets if you have the money.
All right.
Although I have no idea what the boyfriends will do, it seems like fun. The day, this is a stupid one, as far as it's written. The day, it doesn't have an amount or anything. The day the Japanese introduced the idea of rental girlfriends, I'll be moving to Tokyo. So it must have been written by a man.
Yeah.
You would think.
I guess so. Or someone who doesn't like. Yeah.
I didn't read it ahead of time. My apologies.
All right.
That was just stupid.
All right. I've got one. You ready?
I'm going to admit.
You ready?
Wait a minute. Susie said, am I cleaning up? I clean up all the gross foul specimens in this house.
That's...
except for the ones that end up in the backyard. That's Carrie's territory.
It's not true. I do almost all of it.
Bowel?
Yeah. And vomit. And
oh,
I clean the toilets. So stop pretending.
Who cleans the litter boxes every weekly by saying daily?
No one. All right, so
me?
No.
This guy right here.
Okay. Anyways, don't trust anything he says. He holds an elected office now.
Oh, Jesus.
It's gotten so much worse since
then.
Oh,
I got a dog food taster too on my thing,
right? Yay. All right, I have another one. You ready?
I'm ready.
It's odor sniffer, since we were talking about bowel movements, I guess. But for $25 an hour, you can be an odor sniffer. And so, oh, Pokey.
What kind of odors do you sniff?
Well, there's a multi-billion dollar fragrance industry, according to the Career Addict again, where...
Keep going. All I gotta do is give it a look.
I guess so. And so they make perfume, they make deodorant, they make cosmetics. And so an odor sniffer makes sure that the product smells nice. And they also determine and confirm, quote, how long the fragrance lasts. So they'll be like, still smelling it. Still smelling it. Kind of like when Sparty lets go.
Oh, well, that's... But see, what you just described is odors that are probably supposed to smell good.
Yeah, probably.
But...
Not like Sparty's.
I've done the perfect job for us, but... Back okay. to your subject, Sparties can hang around for like 10 minutes.
Oh, easily.
Horrible.
Oh, easily.
Horrid.
He is the best at that. And that's why his name is Sparty, because it rhymes with Barty.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's why his full name is Spartacus, even though he's a lover and not a fighter, because that rhymes with Farticus. And that's how mature we are when we name our animals in this household.
That was his luck, honestly. Spartacus, Spartacus.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You have another one?
I do.
All right.
Adult toy tester.
Oh.
Interesting.
No.
Adult toy testers are employed to evaluate the novelty, aesthetic appeal, and utility of prototypes or of new adult toys. They can earn about
what if it turns out that the toys are bad? Like,
well,
then they're
it's
they could
really
get
bad, like, oh, you get a mild electrical shock or something.
Or you get hurt or it breaks or it breaks apart. Or
that could be bad too.
It causes abrasions or burns or like I wouldn't do that job.
Not
for
even
many
for,
reasons.
Not even for $25 an hour?
Definitely not.
And you can probably keep the toy after you test it.
No.
We'd have to buy a new bin.
A bin.
Yeah. Bin. Maybe a couple.
No.
Because I would rate all the toys really well just to keep them coming.
No. Susie says there's an armpit sniffer for deodorant companies too.
But are they sniffing the armpit? Like, when are they sniffing the armpit? When it's first applied or after 3-hour workout?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Or what? Like, before, after shower, but before deodorant, and then after deodorant would be fun with me.
That would be crazy.
But not after the 3-hour workout.
You don't smell very well.
Wearers or not wearers.
Oh, Pogi. We need to get Pogi.
Pogi. I'll just close the door.
Oh, no. All right. Kate's here, Sean.
I saw that.
But late. But we don't care if you're late. We're just glad you're here. Thank you for being here just in time for Sparty barking.
No, Pogi.
I'm sorry.
Pogi's barking.
I don't know my dog's names anymore.
You didn't miss much, Kate.
You missed a lot, but it's probably good that you did. You're very lucky. Ready?
You missed Carrie's dream job of adult toy tester.
I thought I had to change the topic and we had gone on beyond.
I had to refresh her because she's late.
All right. Professional bride maid. You can earn up to $7,000 a month being a professional bride maid.
Dude, you'd be good at that.
The person who no, because I don't wear those dresses.
It doesn't matter. You'd be so good at keeping the bride straight and good for the day. And you're like, yes, you can. It's fine. It's okay. He comes home drunk every night, but it'll be okay.
No.
You're making the right decision.
That would not be me. I'd be like, let's go. We can go now. Let's get out of here. Let's go. Well, Thelma and Louise, I don't know you, but I don't care. Let's go. We're going.
Your Yelp reviews would suck.
Hey, I'm working for the bride.
All the news would be like, she ran off the bride again. 1 star. Because she's sexy.
No. You're such a weirdo. Anyways, so apparently when you're a bridesmaid for hire, you help with dress selection and fitting and shopping, arranging the bachelorette party. And I would suck at all those things.
That's the big responsibility right there. You got to get a limo. Well, I mean, it depends on the person. They might want a horse-drawn carriage if they're like a redneck girl.
I don't have a cruise director aspect to my personality. But
you
could. So.
You are capable of anything, baby.
Yes, but do I want to be?
For $7,000 a month?
All right. Yeah, maybe. And apparently it requires no training, but you just have to know about what goes on before and after a wedding. Sounds like a wedding consultant.
I was going to say, it's almost like a wedding planner that has to wear the dress and stand up front, too.
Yeah.
Well, you need 10 grand a month for that.
Yeah. Kate says, thanks for the recap. And Susie says, puffy sleeves and big bows on the back side.
I have one that goes right with it. What you just said.
All right, let's hear it.
It's fake wedding guests.
Oh, I could do that.
They're guests who are paid to show up at weddings in order to make the occasion appear busy and give the bride, groom, or both a positive social image.
Just like the funeral.
That's right. Maybe you could have a package deal that you sell to people. I'll be at your wedding, and I'll ensure that I'm also at your funeral.
I'll go to your wedding.
That
your
means you gotta sometimes make sure people die earn your full amount, right? But
no. It could be like, I'll be your wedding, your bat mitzvah, the baby's first birthday, the baby's fifth birthday. I will go to the, you know, if you're a Christian, do the christening. I'll like do all of that stuff.
It's $1,000 appearance.
And when you get divorced, I'll take you out to dinner. We can have a divorce party and I'll be there too. I would do all of that. It's basically paying you to be a friend.
That might be better than the... the bridesmaid gig, the divorce. Because, you know, it's like that. It's like our future podcast, Sex After Divorce. You got to hook them up.
I thought we weren't really doing that. Are we really
doing that? Yeah, we are.
Well, then the other two people need to be.
Oh, I got to finish the podcast studio. Then we'll be all set.
Okay. So apparently we're going to have another podcast called
Sex After Divorce.
I don't know what we're going to do for the logo for that, but it'll be interesting. And basically, it's four people, three of whom have no hang-ups, and one of whom has a hard time even saying the word S-E-X.
That might be Carrie.
It could possibly be Sean.
But it's not.
Oh my God. We're never going to do that.
Sex is my second favorite word.
I'm not going to ask. I don't want to know. Let's
you
go.
You know what it is. I've told you 100 times.
Well, let's forget what it is.
It begins with the letter F.
The swear word?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is your favorite word.
That's right.
He lets go of that word often and a lot. All right.
It's not always in a negative connotation.
Do you know? All right. So in town, we're not going to get into the politics of this because that's not my point. But in town, there's a kid. Well, he's 24, so he's a young man. Who got arrested, and then the charges got released. And the reason he got arrested was for allegedly yelling the F word, right?
Yes.
At somebody, a politician. Not a politician, a political activist, right? And they're a political activist, too, but they're kind of like different spheres.
Socioeconomic spheres?
And socioeconomic spheres, yeah. And political spheres. But this New Yorker article, this is my whole point here, that was the background. This New Yorker article, the woman who wrote the article did what I would never be able to do, because it had his mom and him in the quote saying, and she just wrote out the whole F word.
Oh, like, she did?
Oh, yeah. I'm like,
in
that,
the article?
Yeah, over and over again for nice. Their quotes for what they said. And I was like, loud.
It's about time.
But I don't think I can do that in our hyper-local news blog.
Well, how often does people say that word in anything we quote? Not very often.
No, not very often.
No, but I'm going to start doing it for you, baby.
Oh, wait. I may have just cut and pasted and put the quote in there with the F words. I need to go look that up.
We'll do it in our feature articles that I write.
No.
I'll drop the F bomb.
No. No. All right. Hi.
Hello.
Would you like to continue the podcast?
No. I want to go to Kate's comment because she was talking about sex after divorce.
Oh, okay.
She said.
Okay, hold on. Let me get up.
Then we can play How Many Shades of Red Will Carrie Turn.
Which is very good.
A lot.
All right. And then?
And then Linda Boland said, Carrie, I forgot to mention the job delivering mail weekly. I look back on now as strange is because the lady lived just a few houses up the road from the post office. I rode 20 miles for 10 bucks. Hey, I was a kid and the people were famous.
I would totally have done that. They sure were famous. I totally would have done that.
I think what she's saying is she rode to the post office, got the paper. What was it originally? The mail for the Wyatts.
Yeah.
And then the other lady's mail, and rode a couple houses to drop off the other lady's mail, and then brought the Wyatt's mail back 9.95 miles.
That's amazing, Linda.
Yeah. Like that lady couldn't walk over to the post office.
Also,
what?
I think that is true, what Kate said.
About you turning red?
Yeah. If we do that podcast.
You would definitely turn a little bit of red.
A little bit.
We could play, what color palette is Carrie?
I did my colors today, and I got very, very confused. And I can't figure out if I am. This all happened because one of our friends said I was gray-skinned.
He meant
like a desiccated zombie.
He meant olive tone.
And it hurt my heart. It did. Because I felt like a White Walker. Is that what those things were in the Game of Thrones? Those creepy things? Like
I've never watched Game of Thrones.
I haven't either, but they had these creepy things. And they had gray skin.
Yeah.
Anyways, so it got me a little obsessed about colors.
Of your skin.
Yes. Well, no, not like, you know,
your
like
clothing based upon your skin.
Yeah, color. Like there's seasons of colors that you're supposed to wear, and they split them into seasons, and then they split the seasons into like soft or regular or something. And so I did it, and I did it like I took pictures on my computer, and like then I uploaded another one with Sean, and I turned out to be two different things.
Maybe you're right in the middle, baby.
That's very frustrating.
That is frustrating.
So I don't know if I'm a soft autumn or a soft summer. And there you go. But I'm soft, which makes sense. So there.
It does. You are soft, baby.
So it's my new obsession, is trying to figure out what my actual color is. Does that make sense?
It's your obsession of the week.
It's my obsession of the 24 hours. Wait, Kate said, oh, come on there.
Yeah.
Kate, there is a typo in there.
Is she missing an R?
And it's the funniest typo.
It is. I mean, because our shits don't go well together. I always end up having to plunge the toilets.
That has never happened.
You're right. Maybe there was a typo.
That was really happy. That was awesome. Like, so happy.
Thank you, Kate.
Kate made my night.
That was fantastic.
What I came in to say was, I gotta say, your guys' shirts go well. Not only together, but those colors look nice on you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate. That's because we did. Color matching or paletting or whatever
that. Not me. I threw this shirt out.
Color profiling. Is that it? I don't know.
Brand new. I ripped it out of the bag this morning.
He did.
It's Carrie Bobby's new t-shirt.
I had to buy Shawnee new t-shirts because Shawnee spills everything on his t-shirts.
Yeah.
And then the stains don't come out. Because Susie doesn't live with us. I feel if Susie lived with us.
We'd get the stains out.
Yeah.
Probably.
I do.
I'm sure you're right.
And if Key lived with us, we'd laugh really hard all the time.
No shit. I mean, no shirt.
No shirt. sorry, that's killing me. if you have
well, I don't know.
You don't know?
What are we doing here?
The weirdest jobs. Iceberg mover.
I saw that. I thought it was stupid. I didn't really read it.
You don't get enough money for this.
How much is it?
$20,000 a year. So an iceberg mover tracks the location of icebergs and then finds a nice safe route for the icebergs. For the boats or whatever to go around the icebergs, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes the iceberg mover has to tow the iceberg from one place to another. And I guess this job allegedly started after the Titanic hit an iceberg and sunk back in 19... What was it?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It was like 19-something.
11, 19,
19? I don't know.
Or was it April 19th? That it happened. All right. So, anyways, you only get $20,000 a year, and I don't think that's quite enough.
Hell no! I'm gonna be hanging out on that cold ass water all the time.
Kate says 1912, and but that could be a typo. And then Susie said, "I'm so sorry, Kate." And then Susie said, "Back in the '80s, there was a book called Color Me Beautiful. It helped you choose your season of colors." See, I need that book.
Oh, yeah. If you got a copy of that, Susie, send it to Carrie.
Another job that I would do, even though it doesn't make very much money, is dog surfing instructor.
Oh, you would if you know how to surf.
I don't know how to surf.
You would instruct the dog in anything.
Yes, I would.
So, just to spend time with the dog.
Yes. So, apparently there's a demand from people who want their dogs to be able to surf. And so professional dog surfing instructors teach the dogs and sometimes their owners to surf.
Those are just Instagram people wanting to get some photo ops.
Don't hate it here, Kate. We love you. We're so glad you're here. We're sorry.
You hated it here.
You made us so happy.
Come on.
Your typo made me feel more human.
Jesus, like, you just filled up 7 minutes of the podcast for us.
And it made me. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. And it made me feel less alone. Like.
Oh, that was Carrie, Chris.
No.
Yes,
Chris, no. Christopher Walsh, for those of you who only listen afterwards and don't see the lovely words on the screen or Sean's face, Christopher Walsh has asked, weren't one of you an exotic dancer?
I was kidding.
And it was definitely Sean.
Yeah. Right.
It was so Sean.
Well, I'm going to start being one on OnlyFans.
He is. He's willing to pretty much do anything right now for money.
Not anything.
I would do anything for money. Wasn't that like a song? Like, I'd do anything for love.
For love, baby.
But I won't do that.
Yeah.
What is that song?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't want butt sex. I don't know.
I think I remember him at the Chippendales knockoff party at Jetty's when I was a kid.
There's no way I was dancing when you were a kid, brother. No way. I would have been a toddler at the best, I think. I don't know.
For those of you who don't live in Bar Harbor, Maine, Jetty's is a perfectly wonderful restaurant with a giant lobster on the side of it. So everyone takes pictures of it. But a long time ago, you may have had a Chippendales knockoff party at Jetty's, honestly. I did dance on a table at Jetty's once.
Yeah, see?
All right, but it wasn't exotic. It wasn't exotic.
If you were dancing on a table, baby, it's exotic. Yeah,
probably, because it's just so weird. Chris says the gift shop used to be a biker bar.
I believe it.
Yeah, I believe it, too.
Did you ever dine in their secret little room down in the gift shop?
Me?
Yeah, Jetty's.
No, I bet Christopher did.
Probably.
Did you?
Yeah, I was in there one time for something. I don't remember what it was.
A little
Chippendales. It was like inside a little cave behind the door. It was like a secret room. with a table in the middle. What?
I think I do remember that.
It used to be like a big Bar Harbor Secret kind of thing. Like, you know, like if we actually had like a, what do you call that?
Speakeasy?
Speakeasy, yeah.
Chris said, oh, here we go.
That's true. Right. Gary can shake those hips more.
No, he's talking about you. You remember, Sean. That was Philly.
Yeah, that's where I performed, was in the secret room.
I feel like something is truthful going on underneath Sean and Chris's discussion here.
Yeah, right. That's why. Oh, never mind.
All right. All right, so John Bell said,
they used to flood all around our neighborhood, and people would fly through the water and flood their engines. I would pop their distributor cap and dry it out and spray WD-40 and close it up, and they would be good to go. Sometimes I'd have to pull them out of the deep water and jump their battery also. I'd never charge anyone, but would take money if they offered.
That's 100%
the truth. I remember John doing that. And really? He should have been charging people. Because it would flood in our neighborhood, like the roads would be covered with like 6 or 8 inches of water.
In
like,
Florida.
Like worse than Bar Harbor.
Okay.
And people would just haul ass through it. And back then you had a distributor cap, which distributes the spark to each spark plug. But once it gets wet, it doesn't work anymore because it's electricity, right?
Uh-huh.
So you have to pop that off and dry it out with a towel or whatever, and then you spray WD-40, which is a petroleum product, hence oil, which propels water.
And makes you cough.
And then mostly the car would start again.
Really?
Yeah. And John used to go around and do that and pull people out of the big puddle so he could then do that. So
John was such a nice boy.
That man never stopped, I'm telling you what.
Man, John Bell. Wow.
But he got money. Don't let him lie.
Really?
People gave him money. Hell yeah.
Alright.
He was a money making man. He always made, you know, not as quite as early as me, but he did always make money once he got started.
I'm just amazing.
Well, we didn't have much else to do. But work.
You were in Florida. There was tons of things to do.
Well, I know, but we did those too.
All right.
But we still had spare time.
Hey.
What?
It's time to end the podcast.
It's only 7:57.
It's usually when we try to end the podcast, it takes like a little bit to end the podcast.
I bet Chris
wants
to hear more about my dancing days down at Jenny's.
We all do. So I won't end the podcast if you tell us about your dancing days.
If I had anything to tell, I would, I'll tell you. I'd tell you.
What did you do in the secret room, Sean?
I ate food when I was in there.
What kind of food, Sean?
I don't remember. I don't even remember why I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Mm. I think they drugged me.
You're such a liar.
I'm not lying.
You're such a liar.
Well, I don't think anybody drugged me.
That would take so much drugs.
I don't remember. Excuse me. I do not remember why I was in there.
I love the fact that you just burped.
It was like some sort of event.
Yeah.
I know I can't help it. It's that food we had for dinner. That chili. The chili aspect.
Yeah, we had some chili on for dinner. And if I keep making faces, it's not because of...
It's the heartburn.
No, it has nothing... It's because our dog, Farticus,
keeps farting. Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, which is why I want to end the podcast. I'm like, I need to get out of here.
Gary's got a much better nose than I do.
Which is why I could be a professional odor sniffer.
You could.
But I don't know if I could do the armpit one. It just feels awkward.
Well,
like you gotta put your nose in somebody else's armpit.
You never know what you're gonna get.
Oh, onion.
Sweat. O to B O.
O to B O. That could be our new fragrance.
Neither one of us get it though.
I know, we're very weird.
We have to go 2 weeks without a shower and work really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. We've got some cool jeans. It's the only good gene I have. But yeah,
you got those Jordaches.
Calvin Klein's. Did you wear Calvin Klein's when you were dancing in Jetties?
No, man, you don't dance in Calvin Klein's.
I don't know. What are you dancing?
A banana hanger.
What's that?
Like a Speedo.
And the banana is your thingy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, or a plantain.
Plantain.
They're a little bigger. I'm average.
There's something so wrong with you. All right. Thank you, Sean, for being my husband.
Oh, thank you for being my wife.
And thank you, everybody. I'm so sorry. I'm so very, very sorry.
I'm not sorry.
But he's not. He truly isn't.
I hope we made you laugh at least one time.
And thank you for showing up.
And Kate, thank you for showing up. Please come back again sometime.
And we'll try to make sure our shirts without the T match. Without the R.
Our shirts match.
See, it's easy to mess up.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah. So thank you. Have a good night.
Have a great weekend.
And all that stuff.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.